This is Brother John Roth Eckert. It's good to be with you once again on Truth for Today. And we're going to continue on the church. We've gotten to the point where we're talking about the one church, the one body, identified by the name in the city when they're writing to it, because they're keeping the unity of the faith and the understanding of this one body, and that it's ruled by elders. And in Titus we saw the synonymous terms, there are two terms used interchangeably, elders and bishops, or presbyteros and episcopos, because it's pointing out different aspects. Just like a man can be a father, he can be the head of the house, he can be a husband. These are all functions, but one person holding them. And so, too, these different words are pointing out to different functions of an individual. Now, we want to see this a little more clearly, and this aspect of elder and a bishop being the same and having the responsibility of doing the shepherding or acting as the pastors. So let us go right now, for instance, into Acts chapter 20. Here, Paul is traveling by Asia, and he's down on an island of Miletus, and it says he sent to Ephesus, this is a city, and called the elders of the church. And he talks to them. Now remember, he's talking to elders. Now, we could study this real well. There's a lot of good meat here in Acts chapter 20, but we're going to skip a little of it so that we can get on this one point here that we want to bring out of their ministry. But I'd encourage you to read that there and study it thoroughly, where he's talking about they'd serve the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, and that he held back nothing from them, declaring unto them all the things that had been profitable, and had taught them publicly and from house to house. Now, his public ministry, you'll see in Acts 19, the chapter before, was at the school of Tyrannus. And then he ministered house to house. But he said to them, these elders, in the 28th verse, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." That's the elders were to watch out for themselves, be ministering to one another and watching out for one another. Now today I think they're watching out, but so many times when they're not really moving in the Spirit, it's not in this regard, helping one another, but in other respects. But he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock," singular. One flock, you see, the concept of one church in the city, because it's part of the one body. "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Again, the word episcopos, bishops. So he's saying to you elders, the Holy Spirit has made you the overseers, "to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And here the word "feed" is the Greek verb of the word poimen, which is the word for shepherd, or coming from the Latin would be translated pastor. So here we see the elders are the ones that are the overseers, appointed by the Holy Spirit, and they're the ones given the responsibility to pastor, to shepherd the flock. Here translated, to feed. Feeding the church of God. Now, as we go on, you're going to see a warning by Paul against what we have today almost universally in the church out there as a whole, what we call the church. Now listen to what he says here. He's talking to the elders, who the Holy Spirit made overseers. He says, shepherd, pastor of the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them," or literally after themselves. "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I've coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Paul had worked when necessary and even supplied from his own labors the finances to help others. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So, he's setting this as example, but notice he had warned them that even among themselves there would be certain men that would turn aside and start speaking, he says, perverse things for the purpose of getting people to follow themselves. It's interesting, the word perverse in the Greek. The prefix to that means to distort, to turn, and it has an aspect there. It means to, with rivalry. The word means to distort. The prefix, as I say, is has one meaning, to imply rivalry. And we see this, of course, is in the church today, and is why people twist the truth and speak perverse things or twisted things. And the purpose is to get people to follow only them. Now, you see, when you see this concept that the Bible teaches of all the believers being one and united, and in one city they're flowing freely as being led by the Spirit, and then a man decides to get some of these believers just to follow him, separates them from the rest of the one flock in the city, and builds an entity around himself and his ministry. This was what Paul was warning against, and yet this is what's so prevalent throughout the church today, isn't it? It's not what God wants. And God's in the process of tearing down these walls of separation and bringing believers back in to unity of life, unity of the flow of the Holy Spirit. Now, we see this same truth taught by Peter. Peter being an apostle, ministering to the saints, writing letters as Paul and James and John did, instructing the elders, because apostles were the first ministry in the church. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 12. And their authority is to set doctrine, as in Acts 2, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Let us look now at some of these instructions that Peter gave to the Christian leaders, the elders. We'll find that in 1 Peter 5, verse 1. It says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, sum presbyteros, a co-elder with the rest of you elders all over now. He's writing to people all over, and he's now addressing specifically those who were elders. He says, I'm also an elder with you, and a witness now, going on, 1 Peter 5:1, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, sometimes translated lording it over the flock, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Now, notice what he's saying. He's writing to the elders, and he says, feed the flock of God. This, again, is the Greek verb for shepherd. We would say, using the word pastor as a verb, pastor the flock of God, shepherd the flock of God, translated in the King James, feed. But in other translations, properly translated, shepherd. Let me just leaf over to that once here in the New American Standard. I think that's the way they do translate that. Looking at 1 Peter 5 again, he says, yes, 1 Peter 5, verse 1 and 2. He says, I exhort the elders, and then he says, shepherd the flock of God among you. So it's the elders that are to pastor, and then he says, taking the oversight thereof, and there is the participial form of the word for translated from the word bishop, episcopontes, meaning acting as a bishop, acting as the overseers. Now, notice the revelation we have here. When we get the picture of the elders of God, the elders of the body of Christ, being the rulers, doing the pastoring, being the overseers, who's the one man over them? Is there one man over them? Now you see in the traditions of men and carnality, we see that there's been a distinction, and one man has been elevated over the others, and then they make him and call him the pastor over the others that are appointed by him usually as elders. And they make this difference between a pastor and an elder, but we don't see that in the scriptures. They're the same ministry, and they're all together in a city. And here we see the one man over them is the Lord Jesus. He's writing to the elders, and then he says to do the shepherding, and he says then when the chief shepherd, the archepoimenos, the first shepherd or the chief shepherd, he says, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So the concept in the scripture is that all the believers in the city are one, the rulers or the elders are one, and the one man over them is the man Christ Jesus. But you see, man in their carnality quit looking to the Lord, quit acknowledging him in practicality as the head of the church, and make some carnal, fallible man the chief shepherd and call him pastor. And separate then also from one another into congregations and separate God's people. And this is an abomination, beloved. This is wrong, and this correction needs to be made. And God is moving to raise up true shepherds, true men that really want to feed the flock and work together in harmony with the other men in their communities as the elders in their communities over the one flock in that community. Realizing the membership is in the body of Christ, allowing the sheep to graze and feed as they feel led under the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit, but acting as shepherds to care for them, watch out for them, to feed them, minister to them, and help them develop Jesus Christ in all respects as their Lord and Savior, as the one who is to guide them and direct them, not being the one that's making all their decisions for them, but rather showing them how to get the Lord's mind and how to find out how the Lord is directing them in their life. This is what we're all to grow up to, is the full stature and be led by the Lord himself. And we as leaders of God need to be showing the sheep how to get the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the different methods and means, and helping and correcting, of course, when's necessary, giving words of encouragement or reproof or rebuke when necessary, but not usurping the function of the Lord Jesus, who is the head of the church, who we all are to look to for life and strength and purpose and direction. Hallelujah. So I hope you get to see this beautiful picture of the unity of the body, the one church, the elders ruling. Now let's look at a scripture there that points this out clearly, and something maybe on pay. In 1 Timothy, we see Paul giving instructions to this young apostle who's responsible for ordaining the elders, also called bishops, we saw, as the qualifications in the third chapter. You'll want to study that. And then also in that chapter, the qualifications for those over the material realm, the deacons. So we have the bishops and deacons, the over the spiritual things and over the material realm. But in the fifth chapter, we see some other important words here. He says this, 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, Now, the word honor there, tamais, means value. It's talking about money. Now, we can see this in the context. So let's think of this and read it here in the context. We're talking about some of them getting more money than others. They're not all going to be paid the same. Now, let's see this. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine or teaching. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So we see clearly it's talking about pay. We're seeing that the elders are united, they're all co-equal in authority, but they're not the same in ministry. Some are going to spend more time laboring in the word and teaching. Some are going to be better at their ruling, taking the lead, the word means there, than others. And they're going to be worthy of getting twice the pay. See, but they have the same authority, the same function. But this allows for all the differences of men's abilities, men's different gifts, because these elders that are the rulers are going to have different gifts. Some of them will be a little bit better at maybe pastoring than others. Others will be better at teaching. Others will be prophets and be better at the function of that ministry. Others will be specifically teachers and be better at teaching, although all will be teachers, are to be apt to teach. A prophet will teach different than a teacher will. And a teacher will prophesy a little different than a prophet will. But we can see that the elders, the rulers, will have these different other ministries. Some may be prophets, some may be more evangelistic as evangelists. Others will be teachers. But they're all to do the shepherding. And depending upon how they function will determine how they're to be paid. Some, it says, are going to labor more in the word and teaching. And it makes it plain there. We're talking about finances, how they're to be paid. And, of course, as they meet on this co-equal basis of authority and meet together to rule the church, they're the ones receiving the tithes and the offerings. They meet together and determine among themselves how this is to be used. The authority is in these elders, and that's their responsibility to run the church from that respect. Spiritually, they handle the finances. They give a certain portion to the deacons. They can work along with them and to take care of the material realm. But the tithes and offerings, beloved, in the scriptures go to pay the salaries, pay the support, the finances of the men that are in the ministry. We see that in both Old and New Testament. Now, maybe I'll go into the book of Hebrews and look at a couple other scriptures concerning these, those that have the rule. It's a worthwhile couple quotes here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow or imitate, considering the end of their conversation or their manner of life. And then again in the same chapter, Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So, as sheep, we are responsible to be submission to the Lord, submitting to one another, but submitting to those that have the rule over us. These are the elders. And as we see in the scripture, they may be have additional ministries, what we call a fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4 of being an apostle, could be a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Or you may have more than one of these ministries. Paul wrote that he was ordained a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. He traveled with Barnabas, who was a prophet, And then when they both were called as apostles, the word apostolos means one sent out. They traveled in the apostolic ministry, Paul being the teacher and Barnabas the prophet. And you'll see this combination often moving together, a prophet and a teacher. And some of them may have more of a pastoral gift, ability, but they're all shepherding or pastoring the flock of God. Others may have more of an evangelistic ministry. However, every evangelist won't be an elder. Stephen was a deacon, and yet he had a tremendous ministry. Evangelistic ministry, preaching the gospel, and a miracle ministry. But he was a deacon. But there could be an elder who also would have an emphasis of being an evangelist. Paul wrote Timothy, who was an apostle, to do the work of an evangelist. So we see that we have an interchangeable and of ministries or a variety of ministries working together. And when we see this plurality of rulership, these elders working together, we see the beautiful picture of the body and can understand why men are different. And when we divide the body up into congregations and try to all follow one person, we see why we get into so many problems. A man has a particular gift, but he can't do everything. So many times people want to hire someone as a hireling, expecting to be able to do everything. God didn't design it that way. And that's why we have congregations are mostly under, say, a teacher. Another congregation may be under a prophet. Another maybe a man good at pastoring, but not good really at teaching. And you see, if they were working in harmony, which they should be, on the one flock in the city and allowing the flock to flow, we'd have all these ministries flowing together and see the beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus and his body, he being the chief shepherd over the other shepherds, the other elders, the other bishops of the body of Christ. And this is what God's trying to bring back, this truth that's taught so plainly right here in the Word of God, and getting men to relate together, realize their responsibility of looking out for themselves and caring for the flock among them, realizing membership in the one body of Christ, flowing freely, teaching them how to look to the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus, and to be led by the Holy Spirit. For the Scripture says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, we didn't go over in much detail, but let me maybe in the few remaining minutes sum up a few things here from Ephesians 4. Here we find Paul writing, and he says there's one body, and the sevenfold aspect of the unity of the faith, and he tells us here, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, we're to forbear one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he says, later in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. You see, we can maintain a unity of spirit, of love with one another, relating to one another, having fellowship with one another, even though we may not yet all believe the same thing. We're to maintain this unity of the Spirit until we come into the unity of the faith. And as we let the fivefold ministry function, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, then we will come to a unity of the faith. And this is what Paul writes here. He says, after Jesus ascended up on high, this was after the resurrection, he gave gifts unto men. And it says, quote, he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. This is the fivefold ministry that he gave after the resurrection. You see, we have about 20 men listed in the Scriptures as apostles. We have a number as prophets. Only one, Philip, is an evangelist. And nobody named as such as a pastor, but others as elders. And, of course, Paul is a teacher. And others there in Acts 13, where it says the prophets and teachers there in the church of Antioch came together. And then Barnabas and Saul were appointed as apostles to go out and minister. So we see this fivefold ministry for a specific purpose, for the perfecting, or literally the equipping of the saints, and then the equipped saints, it says, for the work of the ministry, under the edifying of the body of Christ. So all of us together are to receive from the specific types of ministries God gives through Jesus here to us, to equip us and build us up, that we all together minister to one another and build up the body of Christ in love. Now, these five ministries, some men will have more than one, but they're specific ministries given, specific functions given to an individual. The word apostolos, apostle, means one sent forth. And they have authority in the church universal. And they receive special revelations from the Lord as to how the church is to be built and concerning doctrine. You'll see that in the third chapter here of Ephesians, where it says these mysteries of the gospel are revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This is why these ministries are important, to be able to properly interpret the scriptures given by these holy apostles and prophets that have gone on before, like Paul and Peter and James and John. Their writings can be properly interpreted by those that Christ is calling today as apostles and prophets. The word prophet literally means one that speaks forth for another. We're speaking of prophets of God. They will have special gifts and prophecy and visions and revelations, supernatural revelations. Then it says evangelist, specializing in the evangel, preaching the good news, saving the lost. Then some pastors and teachers. The Greek word shepherd there, and this is the only place, really, we find the word pastor in this context in the New Testament. We see the verb form, to shepherd, given as we saw in relationship to the elders. But you see, man is taking these biblical terms and twisted their meaning and used them to give men ministries that are not according to the Word of God. We don't see, again, I want to repeat, in the Scripture, the structure of a pastor over elders. It's the elders that rule, we saw in 1 Timothy 5, and they are the ones given the responsibility of shepherding the flock of God. And they're the ones that have the authority, and they're to be united over the whole city. Now, when you break this down to a congregation, therefore, you may see one elder in a congregation, you may see two, three, four, five, depending upon what's needed, depending upon how big it is. The plurality comes in the city. There's more than one. Elders are spoken of in the plural, but in any one congregation there may be only one, two, three, whatever. And they're to work together with the other elders in the city. They're all one over the one flock as God leads them. And as they meet together, they're the ones that receive the tithes and offerings. And as they send men out, some of these tithes are given to the apostles who go out, some are given to the evangelists who go out, prophets travel, those that are staying more locally are caring for the flock in the city. Others will be traveling out to evangelize and minister to the flock in cities which have been evangelized. As we saw in Acts chapter 8, where Philip went out preaching, he would be receiving from these tithes. And then they sent Peter and John, who were apostles. When they went out, they would be supported, you see, from the church there in Jerusalem, of the tithes and offerings coming in. It's not all for the support of one man, and not certainly building buildings. The tithes were given for the ministry. In the Old Testament, it was the priests who were the teachers. In the New Testament, it's the fivefold ministry that receive the tithes, whether they're ministering locally or traveling. This is what the tithe is for. So these are some of the things that we hope that benefited you from in understanding the church, its structure, its membership, its ministries. These tapes are available.
They're part of a set, and you may write for a tape list.
But I hope you'll get one and listen to it and study it and see God's proper structure for the church. So, if you'd like to write, this is John Rothacker. Our address is John Rothacker Ministries, Box 3219, Columbus, Ohio, 43210. So, it's been good to share these thoughts. Until we meet again, have a good day in the Lord Jesus.